Let me pray. Father God, we do rejoice in your goodness to us, and we pray that you will encourage us now as we come to your word, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if I gave everyone this morning an A4 sheet of paper with a line drawn down the middle and asked you all to write on the left side all the prayer requests that you have offered so far this month, and on the right side to write down all the prayers of thanks you have offered, I wonder which side would be filled up the most. If you're anything like me, there would be a great misbalance between the left and the right. The left side would be full and the right side nowhere near. But today, friends, we are bringing to mind all the good things God has done for us, which are surely grounds for thanksgiving. May we today thread the jewels of his grace upon the thread of memory and hang them about the neck of praise. Psalm 100 is a psalm which calls us to praise, and we see first of all a call to praise, verses 1 and 2. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to God, serve the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs. The summons to shout to God might take you aback at first. We might shout at family members when we have lost our temper. Politicians may shout in the parliamentary chamber, and spectators may shout at sporting fixtures, but here we are exhorted to shout to God. And the reason being is that this is exactly what ancients did to welcome their king when he entered his capital or took possession of his throne. The idea of shouting carries a sense of enthusiasm and delight. And we see next the nature of the praise. Firstly, it is joyful. This is no funeral dirge or singing like your cat has just died. It is joyful, it is enthusiastic, it is done with gladness. Do we come across as a joyful lot, or just a group of lukewarm religious people going through the motions? It is to be joyful because it is celebrating our King. The Lord is a great King and a great King above all gods. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. Friends, we have a reason to be joyful. If God is King, what can our praise be but joyful? Yes, we should have dignity and respect for our King in our praise, but it should not be marked by gloom. Secondly, it is universal. Notice the opening. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to God. In our praise, we address the nations who haven't yet acknowledged our Lord. It is, in a sense, a call to us to spread the word. We want the earth to shout triumphantly to God. God wasn't just to be in Israel's pocket, and we shouldn't think he is just for us to hold on to either. That is why we endeavour to reach the nations through such things as sending people to Cambodia, as supporting missionaries overseas, having ESL classes and the like. Remember the promise to Abraham, through your seed all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed. And with the coming of Jesus, this promise came into much sharper focus, and Jesus himself said, go and make disciples of all nations. We should desire people from every nation, tribe and tongue to join us in praising our God for his salvation. Thirdly, it is reasonable. Why? Verses 3 and 4, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Christians do not worship an unknown God like the ancient Athenians, but a God who has revealed himself. We know that he made us. Many gods are idols. They can neither see, nor speak, nor act. But our God made the world, and he made us. The Bible uses the image of God as the potter, and we as the clay. We know that he redeemed us. For the ancient Israelite, they were rescued from slavery in Egypt. We, on the other hand, have been rescued from sin and death and bondage to the evil one. We were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. We indeed are his people. Yes, we are clay in the potter's hand, and we are sheep in the shepherd's flock. Sheep farming back then was not like in Australia with thousands of sheep and someone on a motorbike rounding them up and throwing a horse or two. The shepherd would have but a few sheep and he would know them all by name. And he would be prepared to lay down his life for his sheep. We are God's people by sheer grace. We don't deserve his goodness towards us. After calling us to joyful and universal praise and giving us good reasons for this, the psalmist once again breaks out in jubilant praise. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his faithful love endures forever, his faithfulness through all generations. We praise our God not just for what he has done, but for what he is. He is good. And no matter our circumstance as individuals or as a church family, we should never doubt that God means only good for us. What is called faithful love indicates God's commitment to his people, no matter what. And when we are faithless, he is faithful. He, unlike us, is dependable, and his promises are trustworthy. We praise our God not only because he has made us and taken us to be his own, but because he will never abandon us. The heavenly potter will never discard his work. The heavenly shepherd will never abandon his sheep. The vessel is safe in the potter's hand. The sheep are safe in the shepherd's arms. Friends, what a great message to hear as we give thanks for God's faithfulness over these past 97 years. The Lord is God, and the Lord is good. And may those great truths sustain us as we press on with another year of ministry, of loving people so they may see Christ, of reaching people so they may know Christ, of equipping people so they may serve Christ, and of sending people so they may proclaim Christ, all to God's glory. And in that, may we invest our time, our money, and our gifts, for the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever. Amen.
We're going to stand and sing again. It's our offertory hymn. So if you're visiting today, please feel free to let the bags pass by. And we look forward to very full bags in August. So let's stand and sing. The Church is One Foundation.